Well, we're continuing our study into the Beatitudes. And Andrew will be doing the last one this evening. But it falls to me to consider the Beatitude in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. I'm not sure how many of you have watched the iSteadford a couple of weeks ago. And one of its highlights, of course, each year is the crowning of the bard ceremony. And it's shown on television often as the centrepiece of the iSteadford. And for those of you who've seen it, you'll know that it involves the partial unsheathing of that sword above the head. It's repeated three times, and at its unsheathed, the bard says, "Ah, ois hedwch," which in proper language means, "Is there peace?" And the crowd around answer, "Hedwch," meaning peace. And the bard is then crowned. It's part of the tradition, part of the ceremony. But it's to highlight the need for peace. The background, the history to that particular tradition probably goes back to the 1920s, when there was a very famous Welsh poet called Hedd Wyn, who fought in the First World War. And he was very much into encouraging pacifism. He'd fought through the First World War and saw the horrors of it. And his great desire was that there should be peace in this world. And that's very much at the centre of that tradition there in the iSteadford. I remember when we were in school, I think it was around May time, that the head teacher would stand at the front of the assembly and read out this declaration of peace, which was being circulated around the world. And it was a call for the upcoming generation to live their lives in order that peace might be at the centre of it. And that is what is at the centre of our beatitude this morning. Also, when I think of peace, I think of the Nobel Prize for Peace. There are many individuals each year who receive the Nobel Peace Prize. Many of them over the years have been Christians. Albert Schweitzer, that great missionary, was awarded it many years ago. Martin Luther King was awarded it back in the early 70s for his work in seeking to bring the end to the apartheid, as it were, in America, particularly between black and white. And again, people like Nelson Mandela more recently have received the Nobel Peace Prize for his endeavours to bring peace, to bring reconciliation there in South Africa. However, in this text, in this beatitude this morning, the peace that we find here has a far deeper meaning. I know we've been looking at the Beatitudes now for several weeks, and I know each Sunday when we look at them, whoever's leading them struggles to find something new to say about the context. But the context very much is found in verse 1 of chapter 5. The Lord Jesus Christ there, seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he begins there to minister this great prologue here of the Beatitudes. And here he's beginning to teach the people, the disciples, something about the wonder and glory of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine for a moment the scene there. There would be many, many Jews there who knew the Old Testament. There would be many Gentiles, no doubt, there who would perhaps have come inquisitive to learn more about the teaching of this new teacher that was gaining in prominence. And as they sat and listened to him, he began to explain here in the Beatitudes what it was like, what it would be like for them to be followers of himself. Blessed, happy. And he explained what it would be like in every element for them to be his followers. And he began to deepen their understanding. And as they listened in rapt attention, they began to realize for themselves that to follow this man would be transformational as far as their lives were concerned. That the old ways that they had known, the old ways they had grown up in, were about to change if they truly were followers of Jesus Christ. If they were to put their faith and trust in him, if they were to follow his teachings. And as I say, we've come this morning to this one about peacemakers. Again, when I think of peacemakers, I think of the UN peacekeeping force. It's something that comes automatically into my mind. And when I was reading up about them this week, they operate in 14 countries across the world. Most of these are in Africa, where they are there, the line between warring factions, trying to keep them apart, to restore peace. They're called the Blue Berets. And I was reminded, of course, that they still exist, surprisingly, in Cyprus. Many, many years ago, when I was young, which is a long time ago, there were the hostilities between the Greek and Turkish Cypriots, and the UN were called in to separate them, to maintain peace in that land. And remember when we visited Nicosia some years ago, there in the capital city, I saw for the first time this great boundary wall separating the north from the south. And there was this guard post. And as you went up onto this guard post, you could look into no man's land and see these Blue Berets in their vehicles traversing it, seeking to keep peace. But you know, as I said, the peace that we find in this beatitude is far, far deeper than that. It's a peace that begins to be unfolded by the Lord Jesus Christ, by God himself, there in the Old Testament. And he gave to the Jewish people a word, a specific word, which described peace in all its fullness. And that was the word shalom. You often hear a Jewish person greeting another with the word shalom. May peace be upon you. And the meaning of shalom is far, far deeper, as I say, than simply the removal of hostilities. It has a meaning of material, physical wellness, completeness, wholeness, healing. It's like saying everything is all right with every aspect of your life. And this is, as we begin to delve into this, something of the true meaning of peace, the peace that we find in the Word of God. It's not simply you and I being able to walk the street in peace and harmony But it's that inner knowledge that everything is right with you and I. And as we move into the New Testament, the understanding of it expands. It expands to reflect the fact that there is this deeper peace that exists between man and God. In the Old Testament, a devout Jew would be drawn to the Torah. He would carry it around with him, the Jewish scriptures. And in the Torah, one of the leading Jewish commentators has written that all that is contained in the Torah was written for the sake of peace. All that's in the Torah, all that the Jewish scriptures teach, is that a Jewish person should be living in a true relationship with God of absolute peace and tranquility. And yet we know from the New Testament, we know from the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Jewish race, sadly, because it did not recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, still does not experience true peace in their hearts and in their lives. Yes, they follow religiously, many of them, devoutly, the Jewish teachings, but deep down, within, they still know that absence of peace in their hearts. And it's only as we come to the New Testament, and as only as we come to passages like we read there in Ephesians 2, that we begin to understand something of the reality of what it means to be at absolute peace with God. Blessed are the peacemakers. And in order to be a peacemaker, we need to know for ourselves the peace of God. As I say, that's why I read from Ephesians 2, because apart from anything else, it points us back to the Garden of Eden. And you'll remember there in the Garden of Eden, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when God himself created us, created this world in which we live, we read there that he created Adam and Eve in his image, perfect, spotless. They had this unique relationship with God. We read of them walking with God in the cool of the garden. They had this unique, close relationship with God. They were at complete peace with God. And then, as I prayed, sin entered in. The prince of this world entered into their lives and caused them to disobey God. Yes, it was a very simple way of disobeying God. Don't eat of that tree. God was quite clear. But yet they could not even resist that single command, and they disobeyed God. And as a result of that, the whole of creation was marred. They were cast out from the very presence of God. The whole human race was transformed, changed. And each one of us, when we were born with that propensity to sin. We were born with that sinful nature within us. And from that very moment of time, we have been aliens far away from God by our very nature. And yet again, God did not abandon us. God, in his grace and in his mercy, made it possible for us to be reconciled back to God, to know our sins to be forgiven, to know what it is again, to know that renewal of that peace that sin had shattered. And in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can know as God's people what it is to be at peace with him. For those of us here this morning who know in our hearts what it is to be a child of God, to have been forgiven our sins, to have had our sins washed away, you and I know what it is to be at peace with God. We know what it is to be right with God. We know what it is to be forgiven by God. We know what it is to know what it is to have God's Holy Spirit indwelling us as his people. We are at peace with him. Ephesians 2 verse 14. For he himself is peace, who has made us one and has broken down the middle wall of partition. God has come to us and restored peace in our heart. There could be no peace when we were separated from him. But that wall that separated us has been demolished, and we are at one with Christ. Or Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that peace that you and I know internally as his people here this morning is that peace which we need to know in order to exercise this command here. I wonder this morning, is this the experience of each and every one of us? Do we truly know what it is to be at peace with God? Do we know what it is to be right with God this morning? Do we know what it is for our sins to have been forgiven, to be cleansed, to be washed away, to know when that day comes, what a glorious day it will be as we enter into the very presence of God? Are we, each and every one of us this morning, at peace with God? Do we know what it is for our sins to have been forgiven? Which brings me on then to making us into peacemakers. What does that mean? Well, it means many things. It means to be at peace with one another here this morning. We've just come back from a week in Tenby, and by and large it was a very peaceful and enjoyable experience. I think there were 19 of us, I think, or something like that, in the house that we had, and there were very few arguments, and everything seemed to have run well, harmonious. But you know, that's just a poor picture of what Christ desires for you and I as his people here this morning. We are his glorious family. And his great desire for us is that we should be at peace with one another. We should have a harmonious relationship. We should joy to be in each other's presence. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ would have us be. But more than that, as peacemakers, not only should we be peace and harmonious one with another as God's people, but we should be, as God's people, at peace with the wider world. We should, in that respect, emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Matthew 26, where the Lord Jesus Christ there is being betrayed by Judas, we read in verses 51 onwards, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." The Lord Jesus Christ, even when he was being betrayed, even though his disciples naturally almost sought to defend him, the Lord Jesus Christ there so peacefully quieted the situation and allowed his captivity to take its course. Or again there in Luke 4, we read of Jesus teaching there in Nazareth, and we read in verse 28, "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way." The Lord Jesus Christ there exhibiting the peace, peacemaker. He was the peacemaker forever in this world. All of his actions, in his engagement with the world around, his desire was to exhibit peace to them. Surely the greatest example of that is on the cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ became for us our peace. Imagine the scene for a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin, there being so brutally treated, beaten, mocked, derided, scorned, and there whipped and lashed and eventually nailed to the cross of Calvary. And there he was lifted up in agony and left to die for 3 hours there upon that cross in darkness. And yet he did it. He didn't rail. He didn't cry out to come down, to be released. But stoically and peacefully, the Lord Jesus Christ exhibited his love for us as his people. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, "For to do this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his footsteps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." The Lord Jesus Christ, in his life, was a peacemaker. In every aspect of his life, he was a peacemaker. And you know, that is his call to us as his children this morning. That in our dealings with people around, we should be renowned for being the peacemaker. We shouldn't revile people, we shouldn't get our own back on them, but our instinct ought to be to bring peace to each and every situation. And we're told in this beatitude, blessed, happy, are the peacemakers. Why? For they shall be called the sons of God. Sons and daughters of the living God. As the Apostle Paul affirms in his letter to the Church of Galatia, those of us in Christ are the sons and daughters of God through faith. You know, that's the glorious relationship we have with God this morning. That not only does God call us, first of all, God gives us peace, that we are reconciled to him, but God also calls us as his children to be peacemakers, not only in the fellowship of his people, but in the world around. In our daily work, in our daily activities, we are the ones who are to bring peace into those situations. But God says, for those who are peacemakers, you have this glorious knowledge of being sons and daughters of me, the glorious God. What a joy it is to be the son and daughter of our parents. We rejoice in that fact. We enjoy their love and their care and their concern for us as individuals. When they're gone, we miss them so much. And yet, by God's grace, we have entered into a far, far greater relationship. That you and I have the right, the privilege of knowing that we are the sons and daughters of none other than the living, living God, the Almighty God. And because of that, we can come boldly into his presence, as we do with our own parents. And we can worship him. We can give him thanks for all that he has done for us. But equally, we can bring to him all our needs, all our difficulties, all our problems, all our fears, all our worries. And unlike maybe our earthly parents, he can deal with each and every one of them. He can give us true peace in this world. Oh, this morning, as God's people, let's remember that great joy of knowing that we are at peace with God, and that because we're at peace with God, we ought ourselves to be peacemakers in this world. But also, there is that challenge equally for some here maybe this morning. Are we at peace with God? Do we really know what it is to be right with God here this morning? Has there ever been that moment in your life when you have come to Christ and sought his forgiveness for your sins and asked him to be your Lord, to be your Saviour, and to be in that sense your peacemaker? Oh, may that be your experience even this morning, I pray. As we draw our service to a close this morning, we're going to sing our final hymn, 144. All my days I will sing this song of gladness, give my praise to the fountain of delights, for in my helplessness you heard my cry, and waves of mercy poured down upon my life. 144.